It's the Larry Kudlow Show. Free market prosperity starts here. Now, here's Larry Kudlow.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. This is the Larry Kudlow Show. We're going to turn our attention to this UAW strike. Striking three plants in, Michigan and Toledo and Missouri. And it's a very interesting story because it's very hard to find fault with the UAW. I don't have to agree with everything they're up to, but it's a much more complicated story, and it's a story in part made in Washington, and it's a story about Bidenflation, and it's a story about Biden's extreme left-wing climate change and electric vehicles. And it's also a story about cost of living adjustments. So anyway, somebody who's been all over this story is my great pal, John Carney of Breitbart News and co-author of the Breitbart Business Digest, who's been writing some wonderful stuff. John, you have really convinced me. I mean, I've been writing and saying the same thing. And by the way, there's one other guy who maybe even more important than either of us, and his name is Donald Trump, who's defending the UAW and put out a white paper about how he would help not just auto workers, but he would help working folks in general. So let's focus on the ghost of wage negotiations past. That's one of your articles, yeah. I guess, out yesterday, right? Was that yesterday's story?
That's right. That came out last night in the Breitbart Business Digest.
So they want a 40% wage hike over 4 years, but they've been crushed by falling real wages, and they're also getting crushed by electric vehicles. In fact, the entire UAW may be wiped out if there's no gas-driven cars in the next 10 years, which is what Joe Biden and his crazy climate change policies are. So let's talk about this. We got a nice leisurely half hour here on the radio. And it's important that you do the talking because I got dental problem. I got blasted this week by the dentist. So anyway, John Carney, first and foremost, what should we be looking at?
So I do think when a lot of people see something like a 40% demand in wage hikes over 4 years, a lot of people, particularly conservatives, are probably going to look at that and roll their eyes and say, you know, oh, there they go again, those unions, you know, demanding unrealistic wage gains. But if you look at what has happened to them, it makes a lot more sense. I'm not saying that, you know, they're going to get 40% or they deserve 40%. Let's leave that between the unions and the companies exactly where it's going to come out. It will come out. There will eventually be an agreement here. But if you look at what happened, back 4 years ago, the unions made a deal. They had a strike against General Motors. It was one of the longest strikes, actually, that they've had in 50 years. They cut a deal where they would receive, it was quite complicated. It was 3% raises in some years, a 4% lump sum payment in other years. It added up to 14 or 15% over 4 years. This seemed like a pretty good deal. Their wages would go up. But the assumption under that deal was that we would have 2% inflation, or perhaps even less. Remember, we had had very, very low inflation during the Trump era and before that. And so what the assumption behind that was like, oh, well, if we get, you know, a few points above 2% inflation cumulatively a year, we'll do just fine. That worked right up until Biden got in office and inflation took off. Suddenly, all of the gains that were negotiated in the contract from 4 years ago got erased. There's nothing left of them. In fact, in real terms, the UAW members have lost wages. They are poorer now every year than they were beforehand. So one of the reasons they want a big wage hike is they want to make up for all that inflation that made them lose ground. And then they say, look, going forward, we're not going to be the ones taking the inflation risk again over the next 4 years. By the way, that's a warning shot to the Fed. They haven't convinced the unions that inflation is coming down to 2%. If inflation was going to be down at 2%, what the unions are asking for would be a lot. If it's going to be 3 or 4% going forward, which, by the way, you already have a lot of particularly economists on the left saying that they should give up the 2% goal and go for 3%. So, you know, the unions hear that and they say, look, there's a possibility that we are looking at higher inflation for quite some time. And remember, these numbers are, it's the magic of compounding, right? These numbers add up. It's not just 3% a year. It's 3% next year. And then 3% on top of the 3% gain. So what they're worried about, what happened over the last 4 years, is they faced 22% inflation cumulatively. Hmm. So when they say we want to raise, they're saying we need to make up for the past inflation and for the future inflation coming down the pike. And that, when looked at it that way, 20% increase, 25%, even 30% increase over 4 years is actually not unreasonable anymore. And I think that's you pointed this out. It's a very important thing, because this is not a case where you have a union fighting against market forces. Mm-hmm. Here we have a union fighting against Biden administration programs that, one, triggered huge amounts of inflation, and two, are trying to push the economy into abandoning combustion engine vehicles, abandoning gas-powered vehicles in favor of electric vehicles. Again, that's not a free market change. It's not. It's actually quite the opposite. It's not that consumers' tastes have changed and the union should start making things consumers want. Those electric vehicles are sitting in the lots right now. They can't. They're not making enough already. They're not making enough gas-powered cars. Those fly off the lots in a month. The electric vehicles sit around for 90 days. The unions know this, by the way. You listed as you started talking where they're on strike. Guess what? They're not shutting down the electric vehicle production. They know where the car companies are making money. Mm-hmm. They're shutting down the profitable gas-powered ones because frankly, if you shut down the electric vehicle production for a little while, all the car companies would just breathe a sigh of relief because they have too many.
You'd be doing them a favor.
Exactly. So what these guys are saying is, look, you ruined our wages with inflation. You're ruining the prospects for us to earn money in the future because the electric vehicles that you're forcing the American consumer to accept and you're forcing the car companies to make require a lot fewer workers. And a lot of the work is going to be done in China. You know, a lot of they can say whatever they want. Oh, no, it'll be made in America. Sure, it will. I'll believe that when I see it. Not if we don't elect, there is a chance that we'll make some of this in America, but we have to elect a new president to make that happen. So the unions are worried.
They should be worried.
Worried. This is a life or death situation for the UAW.
With crime running rampant in New York, you need to keep yourself and your family safe. Obtaining your concealed carry firearm licenses can be difficult and time-consuming. That's where MyFirstPistol.com comes in. They'll help you secure your concealed carry license. If you're looking for a pistol, premise, rifle, or shotgun license, call 347-559-7052. 347-559-7052. You must have a valid firearm license issued by the NYPD to purchase, possess, or shoot a handgun or pistol in NYC.
The demise of the UAW hangs in the balance here. That's the way I look at it, John. And you know what else? This is a strike not only against the big three car companies. This is a strike against Joe Biden's policies, right? Both the inflation policy that you pointed out and the EV policy that you pointed out. That has a lot to do with it. But John Carney, let's go back. When GM and Chrysler were bailed out, Chrysler now Stellantis, there was no cost of living adjustment in the new contracts. You were writing about that, and I had forgotten about that. And that's a really important point, that they haven't gotten a COLA in a long time.
That's right. This was a big concession they made because the companies were either in bankruptcy or Ford didn't go into bankruptcy, but they were on the verge of bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. And you know, Chrysler, now Stellantis, GM were in bankruptcy. And these companies, and so the unions agreed, okay, we're going to give up the COLA adjustment. I think that seemed very reasonable to them back in 2009, 2010, because we hadn't had a lot of inflation, right? So if you keep inflation under control, then workers are willing to give up things like COLA adjustments. When you let inflation get out of control, this becomes a much more serious thing. And that's what happened to the unions is, you know, just two contracts later, basically, they got wiped out by huge cost of living, you know, by inflation. And one of the things that I heard you mention this actually on the television show, and thank you for giving us credit for bringing this up, Larry, was that inflation's a lot worse in Detroit than it is in the rest of the country.
Yeah, that was another one of your key points. That's a fascinating point. Why is that, John?
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things is the number we see as CPI is a national average. It's always lower in some places, always higher in other places. Hmm. And it, so, you know, that's just a function. You know, a lot of times it's like how good the supply chains run into a place, where particular demand is. And it hasn't always been higher in Detroit. It was actually lower when inflation was low. It was lower in Detroit than it was in the rest of the country. So maybe there's just less flexibility in the, you know, economy there. So, you know, it runs higher when it's high and lower when it's low. Mm. But the point is they got hit even harder than the nation on average by inflation. So they're feeling it even more. And this giving up the cost of living adjustment, I think a lot of them feel like that was probably a big mistake. I don't think they're going to get that back as an automatic thing, but essentially what they're doing in this contract negotiation is saying, we didn't get a cost of living adjustment. We want one sort of backwards looking. So we want more money going forward to make up for the lack of a cost of living adjustment over the last couple of years.
And isn't it true? I mean, for working folks in general, not just the UAW, not just unions, but I mean, you look at what's happened here. One of the reasons Joe Biden's numbers are so bad is it's true for everybody working. I mean, real wages have fallen almost every month he's been in office. Not quite, but I think 2 or 3 months in 30. But basically, this is a national phenomenon.
Right, and it's something we haven't seen for a long time. This, you know, falling real wages is a big problem. And as you know, last year we had a full year, so 2022, full year falling wages. The biggest decline in wages since 2010. And remember, 2010 we were just grappling with coming out of the financial crisis. Lehman had, you know, we're a day after the anniversary of the collapse of Lehman Brothers. AIG had failed. You know, the financial system was on the verge of collapse back then. So the idea that wages are doing like they were back in 2010 is shocking, frankly, because the economy is growing. We're in a recovery. We shouldn't be having that kind of behavior in the wage system right now.
All right, John Carney, let's take a quick break. We're talking to John Carney, Breitbart Economics Editor, editor of the Breitbart Business Digest out daily. It's an absolute must read. Much more in the UAW. And then I want to touch upon $100 oil and $4 gasoline, which is part of the UAW problem and part of everybody's problem. I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.
This is the Larry Kudlow Show. Now, back to the Larry Kudlow Show.
We are talking with John Carney, Breitbart News Editor, Economics and Finance, and co-author of the Breitbart Business Digest. You know, John, just to put a cap on this, there's one presidential candidate who was focused on this, only one in either party, I mean, Joe Biden just keeps saying, I'm the most pro-union president. Well, meanwhile, part of this is a revolt against him. But that's Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump is arguing that he will reopen gas-powered cars, that he will stop the crazy mileage standards, that he will make sure that tariffs are around to stop China from taking us to the cleaners. I mean, he's aiming right at the rank and file of the UAW, John. And I have to think that if the leadership at some point, there's, you know, they'll probably settle with the big three. But if the leadership winds up backing Joe Biden because they're all Democrats, the rank and file won't. The rank and file is going to go with Trump because Trump is speaking to them in a way that nobody else seems to be speaking to them.
That's right. I think actually the UAW has a historic opportunity here. Sean Fain, who is the newly elected leader of the UAW in a very contentious election for leadership of that union, is trying to prove that he's different from his predecessors. I think one of the things he could do here. Look, I don't expect them to flip Republican right away, but that membership, a lot of them are going to vote for Trump. And they can see what Donald Trump is saying now. They know he's right about how this is how the electric vehicle push, particularly if we let China dominate it, is a mortal threat to the American auto industry and particularly to the UAW membership. So what the UAW leadership should be thinking, again, I don't know them well enough to say that they are, you know, that siding with Democrats just because they're Democrats doesn't make sense. The Democrats have abandoned the interests of their membership and are enthralled to the special interests who want, you know, the Green New Deal. And that's not going to help the auto workers. So if they really want to show that they're different from their predecessors, they really should be thinking about at least, you know, being neutral or open to the idea that Donald Trump, as you said, really is the only one talking about this. I'm very curious what happens in the upcoming Republican debate. Mm-hmm. I really hope some of these other Republican candidates, you know, hopefuls for the nominee. I don't know how much hope they have these days, but, you know, the guys who would like to be considered potential presidential nominees should be able to speak to this and let us know where they stand. And well, I get it. It's hard for a lot of them.
You said, you wrote this a month ago. The last debate, they didn't talk about inflation, which is public enemy number one. With this debate, will they talk about the UAW, which is really the biggest economic story? I don't know. Right. I don't know, John. You're going to help us out with the shows we're going to run from the Reagan Library out in Simi Valley. Anyway, folks, John Carney of Breitbart doing the Lord's work, as always. I'm Kudlow. We're going to take a break. Other side of the break, I want to know, is Hunter Biden going to jail or not? Okay? I just want to know that. Greg Jarrett is going to help pilot us through that one. I'm Kudlow. Stick around.
Ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.